A copy of today's reading is on the back of the white slips on your seats. It's Matthew chapter 27, verses 45 to 56. And I'm going to pray before I read that. Dear Lord, thank you that as we think about the death of Jesus on the cross, that we can call today Good Friday. Please help us to understand the incredible victory that Jesus achieved on the cross, that we too may say, surely he was the Son of God. Amen. From noon until 3 PM, darkness came over all the land. About 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God.
Fantastic. Thank you, Laura, for reading that little passage of Matthew's Gospel to us. If you'd like to keep that little sheet in front of you with the words from Matthew's Gospel, that would be fantastic if you'd like to look at some of them along with me. Let me add my welcome to Simon's. My name's Chris, and I'm on the team here. And we're going to be thinking about those words from Matthew's Gospel together. We're going to spend a little bit of time thinking together about those words from the book of Matthew, those verses that Laura read to us. Now, we're not going to look at every detail, everything that happens in that story, but we are going to think, as Simon said just a little bit earlier, about why today is such a good Friday. So do look at those little verses or listen, listen carefully along with me. And we're going to start with that first verse, that little verse 45, and Matthew says that from noon until 3 PM, darkness came over all the land. So when Jesus was on the cross, there was darkness over the whole land for 3 hours, from 12 PM until 3 PM. Now, what I'm going to ask Matt to do, I'm going to ask Matt just to turn the lights off in the main building. Don't worry, it's not going to be too dark because it's obviously light outside, so it's not going to be scary or anything like that, so don't worry. But I do want to suggest just a little feel of what it was like for it to go dark as Jesus was on the cross. The whole land went dark. Why was there darkness? What does it mean? Well, darkness in the Bible means something very serious. It means that God is punishing sin. Now, I know that we're starting with something serious this morning, but Jesus' death on the cross is serious, isn't it? Darkness means that God is punishing sin. It means that God is angry. Now, we mustn't think that God, when God gets angry, he gets angry in the same way that we get angry. We usually get angry at the wrong things, don't we? Or perhaps we get angry in the wrong way or at the wrong time. Is that just me, or do we all think that maybe we don't always get angry in the right way, do we, or at the right time? But when God gets angry, it is always right and good. God only gets angry at evil and bad things, all the evil things that happen in this world. Maybe you can think of some of the terrible things that are happening in our world right now. Debbie has prayed for some of them already. Perhaps think of what's happening in Ukraine. I know that our children in Junior Church, you've been thinking about the persecuted church, haven't you? Our Christian family, brothers and sisters across the world who are being persecuted because they believe in Jesus. Those kinds of terrible things make God angry. And that's a good thing, isn't it? Because otherwise we'd have a God who didn't care about things that are wrong. God is angry at evil things. But of course, that means that there's a problem for us as well, isn't there? Because we do evil things too. If you've been at our holiday club over the last couple of days, you'll have thought a lot about this. We've thought, haven't we, a lot about sin, and we've been reminded that we are all sinners. At those times when we don't listen to God's word, those times when we don't go his way, those times when we don't love God. If you imagine a crown, whose head should the crown be on? Well, the crown should be on God's head, shouldn't it? Because he's the one who is the king of everything. But sin is where we try to take that crown from God's head and try to put it on our heads. Instead, we want to rule the world. That's sin, isn't it? It's what we all do with the thoughts in our heads and with the words from our mouths and with the things that we do, we sin. Now, we know that God is very loving and kind and patient with people who sin, all of us. But in the end, because God is perfect, he must punish sin. Sin makes God angry, and he must punish us in the end for sin. And that is fair, isn't it? Because our sin is so wrong. And that's what darkness is about. Darkness is a sign that God is punishing sin. That's a serious thing, isn't it? But here's the really amazing thing. You see, when there was darkness on the cross, when Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't because God was punishing me for my sins, or you for your sins, or anyone else for their own sins. It's actually Jesus who's being punished for our sins. Jesus himself makes that clear. Have a little look at that little verse 46. About 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Now, that might sound a little bit strange to us, but Jesus is quoting from another part of the Bible, from a psalm, and Jesus is teaching us that it is he himself who is facing God's punishment for sin. But we know, don't we, that Jesus didn't deserve to face any punishment for sin. He hadn't committed any sin. He was perfect in every way, the only person who has never sinned in any way. Not once, not one wrong thought, not one wrong word, not one wrong action. He had never sinned, never upset God in any way. He was totally perfect. Unlike you and me, he didn't deserve to face any punishment. So why was Jesus dying and facing God's punishment on the cross? I could ask Matt if you'd like to turn the lights back on. And we need to think about why it was that Jesus was facing God's punishment on the cross rather than us. And I've got some guests to help me, I think. I think they've got some entrance music. So we give them a big welcome. Do you want to give them a round of applause? It's nice to have you both back. It's nice to have you both here. Just in case there are some people here who don't know who you are, or indeed what you are, would you like to, one of you is at least vaguely familiar, would you like to briefly introduce yourselves and tell us who you are?
Oh, hello, everybody. It is so nice to be here with you this morning. Now, we are just visiting, but we have been around a little bit this week, haven't we? So we've met some of you this week at our special deep sea rescue holiday club. Isn't that right? So I recognise some faces. I can see some familiar faces down here. But just in case you haven't met us yet, my name is Marina.
And my name's Atlanta. And we are Atlantean explorers exploring the ocean depths on the Atlantean Dream. Tell you what, though, this doesn't really look like Under the Sea anymore, does it?
No, it did look a lot more like Under the Sea yesterday.
It did. Both of you, just tell us what we've learned over the last couple of days, just so we can remember. What did we learn about Jonah?
Well, Jonah was sent by God to go and tell a group of people called the Ninevites that they needed to repent, which means to turn around and turn back to God. But did they listen the first time, Atlanta?
I don't think they did.
No. Did they listen the first time, guys, that we're here?
No.
Yes? No? Is there a louder no? No?
Yes.
No. No is right. No, they didn't. No, I think we're all a bit tired, aren't we, after 2 days of holiday club. But no, they didn't listen the first time. And do you remember which animal came into the story of Jonah? Could anyone remember which animal it was? Yes. What was it? It was a whale. Yeah. How crazy is that?
It was a really, really big whale. Although, to start with, we thought it was another boat, didn't we?
We did. We did. And do you know, after 3 days, the whale spat Jonah back out. And Jonah, who I think was feeling a bit grumpy by this point, went back to Nineveh, didn't he? And he did tell the Ninevites the message that God had given him in the end.
Fantastic. Now, I think you two are going to help us understand what Jesus did on the cross by doing some kind of challenge. I don't know what challenge...
Well, yes.
But so you're going to help us to understand what was going on.
Yes.
I'll leave it to you two.
Okay. So I've been practicing really hard. So we all learnt how to speak whale this week. And I've been practicing so hard. And I'm going to show you what I've been doing. Are you ready?
I said, are you ready?
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, here we go. Okay. Meow.
Atlanta, that's not a whale.
Okay,
that's
okay,
a mouse,
here we go.
Isn't it?
I can do it. I can do it on my own. Ruff. Ruff.
Does that sound like a whale to you? Does that sound like a whale? No.
Okay, right, here we go.
I don't think you've got it yet.
Here we go. I don't need any help. I can do it on my own.
Quack, quack, quack. Okay, I'm pretty sure that's a duck, Atlanta.
I think that's whale. I can do it without anyone else.
Okay, all right. Well, why don't you try again?
Okay.
I don't know what that was, but I don't...
It was whale!
I don't think it was a whale. I don't think it was a whale.
Okay, one more go.
Does anyone want to have a guess at what that was? Anyone know what that was? What do you think it was?
A fish?
Was it a fish?
Yes, Nero's been teaching me how to speak whale.
Well, I hate to tell you this, Atlanta, but Nero's just a tiny goldfish. Nero's not a whale. So I'm afraid he can't really teach you how to speak whale.
But I can do it. I can do it on my own with no help. Don't need anyone else's help.
Right, and you're sure?
I can.
That you do not need anyone else?
No, I don't need anyone else.
So you wouldn't like... any help from anyone that does speak whale to teach you how to speak whale?
No, thank you.
Are you sure?
Are you trying to say that you're going to do it for me?
I mean, I'm not going to do it for you, Atlanta, but would you like some help? Would you like some help to speak whale?
What do you think, children? Do you think I need some help? Okay, I think I'd like some help.
You'd like some help?
I would like some help,
all right.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to do a little bit of whale here for Atlanta. If you know whale, why don't you join in and do some whale with me, okay? So on the count of three, we'll give Atlanta a little example of what whale sounds like, okay? 3, 2, 1. That was beautiful, guys. Well done. Some very fluent whale speakers here. Shall we give them a round of applause?
Thank you very much. We'd like to find a seat. And we might see a bit more of you a little bit later. You see, Atlanta thought, didn't she, that she could do it, but she could not, and she had to have someone to step in and to do it for her. And actually, you know, the Bible teaches us that Jesus stepped in for us. We can never save ourselves, could we? Our sins are too great. We cannot save ourselves from our sins, from God's punishment. But the Bible teaches us that Jesus swapped himself in for us. And so he went to face God's punishment himself. He was, sometimes you say, he was a substitute for us, if you know what that means. See, it should have been us, shouldn't it, facing God's punishment for sin. But instead it was Jesus. When Jesus was on the cross, when it went dark, God punished Jesus for our sins. Now, we mustn't think that somehow God forced Jesus to die instead of us to face that punishment. It wasn't that Jesus didn't want to, but he was made to by God. The Bible tells us that Jesus, God's Son, willingly obeyed his Father and went to the cross for us. Jesus wanted to die for our sins. And if you're a little bit older, you might notice a little detail in verse 50. When Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. That means that he deliberately laid down his life. No one forced Jesus to die. He died on purpose for us. And that means that if we're trusting in Jesus, we can have all of our sins forgiven. Every single one. Because Jesus' death on the cross means we will never face punishment for our sins. God will not punish us for the sins we have done because Jesus has stepped in and taken that punishment for us. He died for our sins. And so, of course, there's only one right thing to do now, and that is to say thank you to Jesus, isn't it? And to give praise to Jesus because he died in our place. I'm going to say a quick prayer, and then we're going to sing again, and then we'll come back to Matthew's Gospel. So let's pray quickly, shall we? Lord Jesus, we praise you this morning that on that Good Friday, that first Good Friday, you stepped in, you swapped yourself for us to save us where we never could. Thank you for facing the punishment for sins in our place, and we give you the praise this morning for our sins forgiven. Amen. And if you'd like to find your little white card again, and I want us to look at an interesting thing that happens in verse 51. At that moment, writes Matthew, at that moment, the very moment that Jesus died, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. That sounds like some strange goings-on, doesn't it? What on earth is all that about? The temple curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. Well, the temple was a big building in Jerusalem, which is the city where this is all happening. And the temple is the place where God had decided to live with his people. And right in the middle of the temple was a room, and that room was called the Most Holy Place. And over the entrance to that room, there was a big curtain. And that curtain meant, do not enter. Do not go in. Because the most holy place was a symbol of God's presence. It was a symbol of where God dwelt. And sinful people can't just walk into God's presence, can they? But when Jesus died, the temple of the curtain was torn in two from top to bottom, which means, of course, that God did it, not someone else. Now, if you didn't quite follow that, let's see if we can work out what that means together. What does it mean that the temple and the curtain was torn in half? I think it means two things. And number one, it means that the way to God is open. The way to God is open. Now, I'm going to illustrate it with something. Hang on a second. Sorry, Steph. My sheet. I wonder if I could have my two Atlantean assistants to come and hold this. Stretch it out nice and nice and tight over here. There we go. Oh. Okay, nice and tight. There we go. Now, I want you to imagine, it's a little bit small, but I want you to imagine it's huge and it's sort of covering the entire front of that. If you were at Holiday Club, you might remember there was a big kind of wall covering here. Now, if you came in and you saw a big curtain covering perhaps this front bit of the building, what might you think that would mean? What might that mean for you? Anybody want to have a go? Philippa, what do you think? You can't go through. Excellent. Thank you. It says don't go behind that curtain, doesn't it? You cannot go through there. And actually, you would come in and you would know, wouldn't you, that you cannot go behind that curtain. And the curtain in the temple was a little bit like that. You couldn't go behind it. Now, if we tear the curtain in half, I've all right. I wasn't expecting that, but well done. Very good. Just hold it there. And just take the study for a sec. Now, what can you now do? Go on, Harry, what can you do? You can go through, can't you? Yeah, you can go in. Thank you. Just grab a seat. There we go. See, the curtain of the temple was torn in two, and that means you can go through. It's a little bit like that. God is saying the way to God is now open. You can go in. In fact, anyone can come in. Anyone. You can. I can. No matter what sins we may have done, no matter how many sins we may have done, because Jesus has died for our sins, we can come in to God. We can enjoy God's love. We can know God as our Father. We can live forever with God in his perfect place. You see, the way to God was shut because of our sins, like we sang in one of our songs earlier. But because Jesus has died for our sins to take them away, the way to God is open for anyone. And that's fantastic, isn't it, for all of us? But there's one more thing that we need to remember, because it doesn't mean that you can just come to God however you like. We need to think about the second thing that the temple curtain being torn in two means. You see, there's a very specific way that we have to come to God. The way to God is open, and the way to God is Jesus. The way to God is Jesus, because only Jesus has died on the cross to take that punishment for our sins, and therefore Jesus is the only way to God. Now, let me see if I can help us to understand this. I do need these now, Steph. Sorry. I'm afraid they were not for you. I've got here a big box of very appropriately named celebrations. It's a good, in fact, there's an Easter special edition, so there are actually some eggs in here, I believe. And I've got some celebrations, and I would love to give as a gift to anybody who would like one, any of the children, that is. There might be some for the adults at the end, but any of the children who might like one, I'd love to give one to you as a gift. Anybody like one? Just stick your hand up for a moment if you would like one. Very good. Now, we have some lactose-free versions as well. That's very good. So you can all have one. I would love to give them to you as a gift, but there is a condition, okay? You have to receive it from the person I have chosen to give them out. Okay, it's my gift to you, but I have chosen someone to distribute them, and you have to receive it from them if you want one. Okay, and I have chosen Atlanta. Could I have my appointed distributor of gifts, please? Here we are. And the only way Atlanta is delighted to give you, so it's my gift to you, but you have to receive it from Atlanta. The only way you can receive this gift is if you go and ask Atlanta. So if anybody wants to come forward, all you need to do is come and ask my appointed giver of gifts. There might be some even for the adults, who knows, at the end. But you have to ask Atlanta, otherwise you won't get one. See, what did you have to do to receive my gift to you? You had to ask the person that I had chosen to be the giver of that gift. And that is just a tiny picture of how we must come to God. You see, God has a gift that he would love to give us, a gift far more wonderful than any chocolate. He has the gift of salvation to give us, the gift of forgiveness of sins, the gift of eternal life with him. He will give that gift of salvation to anyone. He would love to give that gift to anyone, but there is a condition. You have to receive God's gift from the person that God has chosen to give that gift. You have to receive it from Jesus. See, there's no other way, is there? No other way to God, no other way to receive salvation, but than to receive it from Jesus, because he's the one who has died on the cross for our sins. No one else has done that. Anyone can come to God if they come through Jesus. Maybe that's a question for all of us to ask ourselves over this Easter time. Are we trusting in Jesus? Because if we are, then it is a good Friday for us, isn't it? We can enjoy God's salvation through Jesus. The way to God is open, and the way to God is Jesus. Just as you finish your chocolates, let me read you one last verse, the very last verse on your sheet. And it says, when the centurion and those who were with him were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and they exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God. That Roman centurion realized that Jesus, for what he'd done, must be the Son of God, because only the Son of God could be doing these things, couldn't he? So this Easter, let's remember that only the Son of God could win such a wonderful salvation for us. And let's rejoice in him, shall we? Let's pray together, shall we, as we finish. Our Father, we praise you that the temple of the curtain was torn in two. We praise you that the way to you is now open and anyone can enter in and know eternal life with you. We praise you that the way to you is the Lord Jesus, your Son. Pray that we would be trusting in him this Easter, and would that fill us with joy, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.